Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, May the 20th. And we were supposed to get rain. We got none today. It's supposed to come tonight and it's supposed to be here tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But today, there was just a little bit of rain around 2:30. But the rest of the day was pretty warm, actually. A very nice day of May, I guess, here in the area. Well, a couple of things I want to get into today. You know that there's talk in the U.S. Congress of having a commission to investigate the events of January the 6th. They want to do something like the 9/11 Commission that you may remember back then. The 9/11 Commission actually was made up of three people who were not in the Congress. And they wrote a book, they wrote a report, you know, really didn't tell us anything new other than, of course, we were unprepared for a terrorist attack. Everybody kind of knew that. But right now, what we're trying to do right now with this January 6th Commission is we want to do another investigation of January 6th. Why do we want to investigate January 6th again? We all know what happened that day. Pretty clear what happened. President Trump gave a speech. There were a bunch of people there. And 99.9%, you know, to be exact, 99.999% of the people who were there, they listened to the speech. They expressed their support for President Trump, and they went home. And then there were like maybe 100 to 150 who decided to do something very foolish, like breaking into the Capitol and making total fools out of themselves. One person was killed, I believe, one of the protesters, a police officer, I think had a heart attack. The bottom line is that everyone involved in the law breaking that day has already been arrested, is under trial, or perhaps has already been sent to jail. There is nothing new that we're going to learn by having this investigation or this commission to investigate the events of January the 6th. So why are the Democrats trying to do this? And by the way, I'm happy that they're not going to have enough Republicans in the Senate to have this commission. But anyway, why are the Democrats interested in doing this? The answer is they don't want to talk about anything else. And the second answer is that Trump is like the nicotine of the Democrat Party. They simply cannot live without talking about Trump. So by having a commission about January 6th, it keeps Trump in their conversation. They keep talking about Trump, which is something they have to do. They simply cannot get around the fact that they're now governing without Trump, and they don't know what to do because they're so accustomed to blaming everything on Trump. So I think the Republicans need to hold tight and say there's no need for a commission. Right now there are two committees in the Congress, I think one in each chamber, one in the Senate and one in the House, who are looking at this. And as I said, everybody involved has been investigated, is under investigation. The FBI is involved. A bunch of other people are involved. And eventually we will, you know, prosecute the people involved. And that's all you have to do at this point, is prosecute the people who broke into the Capitol. That's all we need to do. Everything else has already been said, has already been written. And why do the Democrats want to keep talking about January the 6th? Because they have nothing else to talk about. Are they going to talk about gasoline prices? I don't think so. Do they want to talk about inflation? I don't think so. Do they want to talk about this mess in the Middle East? I don't think so. Do they want to talk about the energy prices, gasoline prices, and how it's driving all the other things up? No, they don't. So they just want to talk about Trump because they know that as long as they're talking about Trump, the party is united. The only thing that unites the Democrat Party right now is Trump, or talking about Trump. Look at how divided the party is with respect to what's happening in Israel. I mean, you have members of the Democrat Party arguing with President Biden about our support of Israel. I think it was Bernie Sanders who introduced a motion today to stop sales of weapons to Israel. I mean, this is crazy. This Democrat Party has gone full circle, or 180 degrees, I should say, on the topic of Israel. I mean, the Democrats have always been strong supporters of Israel. Now, all of a sudden, they're strong supporters of people who fire rockets at Israel. So, look, the party's very divided. The Democrats are very divided. And they're a lot more divided than the Republicans are. And Israel is a good example of how divided they are. They're also very divided as to how much to support President Biden's spending because of all the talk about inflation. So for the Republicans to give in would be a huge mistake on the January 6th commission. So I'm glad to see it's never going to happen. It did pass the House on a purely party vote, and it's going to go to the Senate. It will never have 60 votes, so it'll just die, go away, and then we can talk about other things that are more interesting, like what in the hell is happening with the price of gasoline? That's what I keep hearing from everybody. I just filled up this week, or I filled up today, $2.87 for a gallon here in the Dallas area. It was like $2.10 on the day that President Trump left town. That's a big jump. That's like 70 cents a gallon up. That's a big jump. And that, of course, is reflected in a bunch of other things that are going up. So the Democrats don't want to talk about any of that, but they do want to talk about January the 6th. Well, I'm glad to see the Republicans are not going to give in, and they're going to stick together and say no to this idiotic investigation or commission, as they like to call it. You know, there's a very interesting article about how police officers are quitting police departments in Seattle, in Minneapolis, in Portland. They're just losing police officers in these towns. They're leaving. They're having a very difficult time recruiting new ones. I just came from the East Coast because of my mother passing away. I had to go see her in the last couple of weeks. And when I was out there, I was talking to people who were telling me that the price of gasoline up and down the East Coast, and this is before the Colonial Pipeline broke down, the price of gasoline up and down the East Coast is over $3, the average. In some places, $3.50. That, again, that is a huge jump. And if you want to find out why, if you want to find out why the Democrats don't want to talk about anything but the commission, that's another reason why. But getting back to the jobs and the police officers, I was just in Baltimore, as I mentioned, a couple of weeks ago, and I was there and I was told that the city of Baltimore only has 700 police officers. They have a tremendous shortage of police officers. So the police officers are overworked, probably underpaid, and they just cannot recruit police officers. They simply cannot recruit police officers, and other places are losing them. And that's the way it's going to go. That's the way it's going to go for quite some time, until the local politicians in these cities begin to enforce the law and support the police, they're going to be losing police officers. And the biggest casualty of these police officers not on the job is going to be the African-American community, the Hispanic community, the poor communities, because that's where the crime is. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, speaking of cities in trouble, the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot, came out today or yesterday and said she was only going to do interviews with black or brown reporters. not exactly sure what a brown reporter is. I guess she means Mexican or Hispanic. And the reason I'm not sure is because I know a bunch of, you know, Hispanics in the news media who are blonde and blue eyes. I mean, just turn on the TV in your local town and watch the local Spanish news or even the national Spanish news. There's a bunch of blonde, very light-skinned men and women who work in Hispanic television. But anyway, Mayor Lightfoot said she's not going to do interviews with those who white reporters, I guess, because she only wants to do black and brown. Well, of course, that's racism of the purest kind. And for someone like her in a public position, that's even worse. But it really shows you how arrogant these people are, that they think they can get away with stuff like this, that they can say stuff like this without consequences. And frankly, so far they've been able to get away with things like this. But this lady ought to be forced to resign. She's been a horrible mayor of the city of Chicago. Now, Chicago is a tough place to manage, I'll grant you that. But it certainly has not been as bad as it's been here recently. It's just a total crazy town, the city of Chicago. And when you got a mayor like this, well, it isn't going to get any better. Well, you may have heard that there were a couple of no-hitters in Major League Baseball last night, including one here in town where the Yankees no-hit the Rangers. And there's a bunch of no-hitters happening in Major League Baseball this month or this week or this year, I should say. And a lot of people are beginning to worry about the game itself. Has the game become too much in strikeouts and not enough hitting? And that seems to be what's happening. And even Nolan Ryan, who's the all-time strikeout king, says he doesn't like the game anymore because there's too many strikeouts, that he wants to see the ball in play. He wants to see batters actually hitting the ball and putting it in play because it's a better game. It's a much better game when the ball is in play. And he's exactly right. He's exactly right. I'm not sure exactly what can be done to change this situation in Major League Baseball, but something has to be done because there's no question that the game has really slowed up a lot because of all the strikeouts. I mean, basically, you're just watching the pitcher throw at the catcher and the batter swinging, and the rest of the team is doing nothing because there's just way, way too many strikeouts. And I don't know what they're going to do, but they got to figure out some way of putting the ball in play. They've done it before. If you watch a game from the 70s, the 80s, even the 90s, you see a much faster game because the ball is in play, because you don't have 10 strikeouts a game. That's what really slows up the game. When you're having a lot of strikeouts, you have a lot of pitches, and it's just not as exciting. Now, every once in a while, you want to see a Nolan Ryan strikeout 15. That's great, or a no-hitter. But it's becoming so frequent now, the number of strikeouts, the number of no-hitters, that I think baseball needs to wonder, why in the heck is this happening? Why are there so many strikeouts? Why are there so many no-hitters? It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And I think the commissioner, instead of doing stupid things like moving the game out of Atlanta, he should be sitting down with all the owners trying to figure out what in the heck can be done to make this game what it used to be for a long time, which is a slow game. Yes, it's always been a slow game, I know. But there was a pace to the game that was a lot quicker and a lot more fun to watch than the game that we are watching right now. Well, on this day in 1902, the Republic of Cuba was born. As you may know from your history books, Cuba was a Spanish colony for 400 years, and then came the Spanish-American War. Spain lost Cuba in that war, and Cuba was occupied by the United States for 4 years, and then it became a republic in 1902. And, you know, it's ever since then, it's been an independent nation. But for many of us, particularly those of us who fought communism, the reality is that Cuba was only independent from 1902 to 1959. And all these 60 years of communism, the country has not been independent. And that's why, you know, I wrote a post today at the American Thinker saying that I'm looking forward to the day when Cuba can be independent again. In this case, independent of communism and the communist dictatorship. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.